Please turn to Luke 19. We're in our, been studying about Luke, the man, and some of the things he wrote. And he wrote a lot of things that we would never otherwise have, which I won't go into that lengthy list this morning. But he also wrote some parables that are unique that we've been looking at. And the one we're looking at starting last week is the parable of the 10 pounds. And I want to read again, and I hope you've read this, but Luke 19, 12 and 13. And so that's Luke 19, 12. And Jesus is given a parable, and he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." The nobleman, we pointed out last week, was a reference to Jesus Christ himself. And so this is, he's the nobleman here. Now, we kind of finished last week talking about that phrase, occupy till I come. We're going to say some more about it today. And so this speaks to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me just say this. Some believers, perhaps an innumerable multitude of them, are satisfied just to be born again. And they never do anything with the pound that they were given. Thus, they fail to see or appreciate how they were enriched by him, what it meant to be born again. And thus, they remain babes in Christ, and really, they never grow beyond spiritual infancy. So we will discuss this later on in the parable. Go to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll start in the first chapter. And we'll hit some points. 1 Thessalonians was Paul's first epistle that he wrote. He wrote to those at Thessalonica, and he wrote encouraging them, whether he realized it or not, to heed Jesus' words of Luke 19:13, that is, to occupy till I come. And let's look at some of the things that Paul wrote. He ends every chapter in 1 Thessalonians referencing the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That's how we are to occupy till he comes. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 19. "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Again, this is how we are to occupy till I come. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting 14. I know this is a familiar scripture to most of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep or dead. In other words, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, not the fleecy clouds, but these clouds of saints, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is how we occupy till I come. And then chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole soul and spirit, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find to occupy till I come means to be patiently waiting for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to actually indeed be looking for his soon return. Are you there? You got to answer that for yourself. You know, let's move on. Go to Acts 17. Now, we just read some things that Paul wrote unto those at Thessalonica. There was a group identified in Acts 17, 10 and 11 that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And it says in Acts 17, 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And note this part, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. If they had a Bible, they didn't leave it down at church and then pick it up the next time they were at church. They searched the scriptures daily. This means that they were more noble-minded. That is, more inclined to candidly inquire into the doctrines of our Apostle Paul. Is what he's telling us the truth? There's only one way to find out. We better search the scriptures. And they received the word that he spoke with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Implied in this statement is that a better manner and attitude was held by these Berean saints. That's where he went. That's this group that was being spoken of here in Acts 17, 10, and 11, the Berean saints. They had an attitude more noble towards Paul's gospel. In other words, they were much more friendly to his doctrine than those that of Thessalonica had been. Didn't they run him out of town at Thessalonica? So we find that these Bereans didn't reject the preaching of the Apostle Paul, but rather received the word with all readiness of mind. And received here means to receive favorably, to give ear to. You paid attention, in other words, to embrace, to make one's own, to approve, and it means not to reject. And what did they receive? It was the word of God preached by Paul in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance of faith that these Berean saints readily latched onto what he was saying as their own. And how they received it was with all readiness of mind, which means with a willing mind did they receive Paul's gospel. They were hearing some things that they hadn't never heard before, but they also knew from the way he was speaking that these were true. One commentator put it like this: they received Paul's gospel with all readiness, as a hungry man receives his food and greedily feeds upon it, or as a man ready to perish receives and lays a hold of anything that offers for his safety. And because these Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind, we find a natural progression to the third point made in verse 11, which was that they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And this searching the scriptures is what makes believers, all of us, good Bible students. I think I'm speaking to some good Bible students here this morning. And that's because you search the scriptures daily. And this searching the scriptures daily is also what makes believers full overcomers. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I imagine we hear that quoted most frequently, maybe more frequently than any other scripture, but that's Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we find then that the Berean saints quickly learned to occupy till I come, to be patiently waiting for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they learned to also be indeed looking for his soon return. No doubt they ask each other, kind of like Brother Hill did in the last and all the time. Do you think he will come today? Do you think he will come today? Do you think this is the day the Lord is coming? And that's indeed is how we should occupy till I come. And may we all have such a heavenly upward focus. For with such anticipation and always looking for Christ's soon return, the things of earth grow strangely dim, as the songwriter put it. Are you interested in going home and watching the 5 o'clock news? Probably not. Those things are not what you're looking for. It's not going to be good anyway. Even when you watch the Weather Channel, you'll find out there's a Category 5 hurricane approaching Louisiana 16 years to the day after Hurricane Katrina. So we want to pray for those people for sure. Yeah. And but we should be focused on the things of the Lord. And I'm going to take us back to Hebrews 12:1-2. We did that study 3 or 4 years ago now. on those two verses, it took a little while. And that's an 80-word sentence. And it says, wherefore, Hebrews 12:1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses was the Old Testament worthies of faith, found in Hebrews 11. Let us, that's us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, unbelief. We latch onto that real quick. Well, I know the Lord can heal, but I don't think he can heal me. Really? You don't want to latch onto something like that. So that's the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And again, there's 80 words here in that. That's one sentence. And it's written to we and to us of this church age. It's written to you, okay? And so Hebrews 12:1-2 is written to you and me. And it's written to encourage our faith and to draw our daily and hourly and minute by minute, second by second focus unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This indeed is how we occupy till I come. And those were the words that the Lord spoke, speaking to us. Okay, go back to Luke 19:12-13. We'll read this again. Luke 19:12. And Jesus is speaking. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I want to connect some dots here. And you'll get the point here in a minute. And We've looked at some thoughts already this morning, what Jesus was saying here in Luke 19:12-13. And yet, we may miss a simple point that we've already discussed. And the Apostle Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians 11:2-3, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We'll focus on the simplicity that is in Christ here for a few minutes. And what does that have to do with what we've just read there in Luke 19:12-13? We just highlighted this statement in verse 13 of Luke 19. Occupy till I come. Who did the nobleman, who is Christ in this parable, who did he make this statement to? And you need to read and reread Luke 19:12-13 until you finally see in that these words were spoken unto his servants. And we noted that this was probably last week, that those servants speak of those true believers who have been entrusted with the gospel, those keeping the word of God, in other words. So let me ask you a question. Did Jesus ever say, occupy till I come, to unbelievers? What would be the point of that? It don't even make sense. So make sure you understand that point as we move on. And another thing I found as I was looking this over, the phrase, till I come, is only found 7 times in Scripture. Imagine that. Till I come, then, speaks to spiritual perfection or spiritual completion. The phrase, occupy till I come, was only spoken this one time in Scripture. And who was it spoken to again? Believers. Believers. You got that? Not unbelievers. Okay. You got it. Again, we're going to look at another thing here. The nobleman, who is Christ Jesus, it was him who delivered them 10 pounds. It was his money. It wasn't their money. It was his money. He entrusted that into the care of their hands. The indication is 1 pound each to each of these 10 servants. He gave it to them. He gave us his word. What are we to do with it? Hide it under a bushel? No, they learned that in the school downstairs. So what were they to do with their 1 pound? And it says, in verse 13 again, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Here's something for you to be occupied with till I come. Go to Isaiah 55 for a minute. Brother Webb Harvell on Wednesday night, he referenced this portion of Scripture in his discussion on the fruit of the Spirit. That was a wonderful lesson. If you didn't get it, go back and listen to it on the website. Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. And again, we've covered this quite often in Sunday school. The Lord writing here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's probably a good thing. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That indeed is a good thing. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The gospel, the word of God, his word is what we are to be occupied with. Occupy till I come. His word will not return unto him void. Occupy with his word. Don't occupy with some other junk, worldly things. His word. Okay, verse 14 of Luke 19. Now, there's a second group of people. We're talking about the servants in verse 12 and 13. In verse 14, we find a second group of people. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. This is the world we're living in today. The citizens refer to Christ rejectors. They have no intention ever of submitting to Christ's authority. Go to 2 Timothy 3. We're going to read two portions out of this chapter. This is his last letter that he wrote. And you know this, and you're familiar with this, and you recognize this to be true in the world we live in today. 2 Timothy 3. Let's read verse 13 first. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can you agree with that statement? Are things getting better and better or worse and worse? Worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And then let's go back to verse 1. That in 2 Timothy 3:1, he's writing to Timothy and trying to encourage him. And he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What days are we living in? The last days? Yeah. Perilous times shall come. Yeah. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen. Did you do a selfie this morning? A lot of people did. They're lovers of their own self. Look at me, what I'm doing. Me, 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 myself and I. Lovers of your own self. Covetous. Oh, look what he's got. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Well, I never, huh? They're all over the place. Kids disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, but they promised they would do this. Right. You made a promise with truce breakers. It's going on right now. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. This one gets misquoted a lot. Lovers of pleasures. There's an S there. It means more than one. And they invent more things to be lovers of daily. I never heard of pickleball. I guess that's a new pleasure. I hope I'm not meddling here. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Unless you've been living in a rock someplace, under a rock, or in a cave, you know very well that this describes the world that we're living in today. We are surrounded by Christ rejectors, those who have said in their heart, we will not have this man reign over us. That's verse 14. And I want to jump to verse 27. We're out of sequence in the way it was presented in the parable, but I want to get to the end result of these Christ rejectors who have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And this was spoken after the return of the nobleman. And it, in other words, references the time after Christ's return when he calls this group out in verse 27, Luke 19. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll explain this briefly. We won't dwell on it, but 1 Corinthians 15, you all know, is what? The resurrection chapter. Okay? And we'll read a few verses concerning the resurrection, which ties in with what we've been told here in this parable of Luke 19. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. It shows ranks in the resurrection. Many see this, and they don't see this. And we're not going to go into it today. But there's some tracks out there in called Ranks in the Resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. Now there's 1,000 years there between those two verses. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So in these brief few words, we find explained Christ's 1,000-year millennial reign as God, during which time he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's 1 Corinthians 15:24 and 25 again. It is during Christ's 1,000-year millennial reign when those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, spoken of in Luke, our verse there, 19:14, that are brought before him and slain, okay? Now, let's go back to our parable. We won't get too far with this, but there's three of the servants representative that are there at the return of the nobleman, found in verses 15 through 26. And again, 10 servants were all involved in this parable. The servants were who? The believers, the ones told to occupy till I come. I believe you learned something here this morning. But only three were called to account, because I think we went through all 10, these three would be representative of what was said. And so these three are representative of his servants during this church age. Luke 19:15. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, his money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It was his money that they had been given to occupy with till he came. And upon his return, he wanted to see what they had gained by doing his business. His money to do his business. So pictured in this portion is the fact that all believers have been given life and all things to sustain it, believers, and grace to live it. But then we also will find, as we go on with this, not today, but Lord willing next time, if he should tarry till next time, there are also some represented here, in fact, many, who think they owe God nothing. You see that in some of the miracles he did. You know, he healed the 10 lepers. Did anybody come back and say, thanks a lot? Thank you, Lord? Or was it just, I'm out of here. I'm good, you know? Be thankful in everything? Yeah. That's just one way we can repay him for the many benefits he's provided us. Luke 15:16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And the nobleman said unto him, well Thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy 10 pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he says, thy pound, excuse me, hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And the lesson learned from this is that it concerns reward for service. What Jesus is teaching is that greater faithfulness to what we have been given demands a greater reward. In his study book on this, and it's up to date in the website, the study book of Luke, Brother Hawkins noted, each has been given a pound, but some have been far more diligent and aggressive with it and will likewise reap a greater harvest of reward in eternity. Okay, the third servant, let's read what he was occupied with until his Lord returned. We'll probably finish with this morning, Luke 19, 20 and 21. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that which thou did not sow. Just reading that much of it, you see, he didn't understand his master at all. We'll get into that next time, Lord willing.